Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Tuesday night edition of the show, episode 2 this week of 5. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on any platform, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, you name it. We're available on any platform that you listen to your shows, downloaded into your phone, 4 to 6 episodes a week. You can also head over to LockedOnEagles.com. And with the regular season going now, with what? Less than 3 weeks away, we'll be taking on the Washington football team. I'm going to call them this year for when we do crossovers. I'm going to call them Washington FT. You know how in soccer they go Washington FC, like, you know, Seattle FC, Barcelona FC. I'm picking all the worst names because I don't know soccer, so all the examples I'm using are garbage. Sorry, Tony, my boy out there in Scotland. I know you're a big soccer guy, football, of course, but Washington FT is what I'm going to call them for the season, and we're under a month away from the Eagles, hopefully torching Ronald Darby on some double moves. And again, that's why you got to subscribe to the podcast on any platform, because we're churning out more Eagles episodes than any podcast. Coming up on today's edition of the show, I have the pleasure of sitting down with Locked On NFL host, a former pro NFL scout for the Cleveland Browns, also a former scout for the University of Pittsburgh, Avante Maddox's alma mater, LeSean McCoy. What other Eagles greats are from Pitt? Deion Lewis, right? Deion Lewis was the running back after LeSean McCoy at Pitt. I sat down with Matt Williamson of Locked On NFL and also, again, a former pro scout for the Cleveland Browns and the University at Pitt, and I wanted to talk with him about the Zach Ertz-Dallas Goedert situation. Because you guys heard us talk about this at length on that mailbag edition of the show a couple weeks ago, but the contract talks between Ertz and the Eagles on Tuesday reignited. So clearly the Eagles, regardless of what I said about prioritizing Goddard maybe down the road, maybe waiting right now, we'll get into that conversation still about what I think they should do, what Matt Williamson thinks they should do. We'll get into that in segment 2. But for now, it looks like the Eagles are comfortable and they are willing to give Zach Ertz a long-term deal. A couple weeks after you saw Travis Kelce get a big deal with the Kansas City Chiefs, the San Francisco 49ers handed out a big contract for George Kittle. Both Kittle and Kelce got historic deals at that position, and it looks like regardless of cap space and Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz is about to be next with the Philadelphia Eagles. Although, I'd say that, but we always see other teams shell out massive deals, and then we see the Eagles extensions, and you always say, how did Howie Roseman do that? How is that so team-friendly? So, I am holding out hope that it's not something that's going to, you know, kill the Eagles' salary cap. But we're going to get into that tight end conversation more in depth on today's edition of the show. But before that, let's get into some news. The Eagles signed on Tuesday Seahawks tight end Tyrone Swoops because Joshua Perkins could be placed on injured reserve. He's dealing with a potential long-term upper body injury. I know the Eagles do injury updates like the NHL. Upper body, have no idea what that could be. It could be an arm, shoulder, you know, rib, chest, I don't know, whatever. I mean, you have your head, shoulders, chest, stomach. There's a lot of body parts in your upper body. So no idea exactly the details of Joshua Perkins' injury, but they had to bring in some more tight ends with Tyrone Swoops, who was a draft pick in 2017. Not really anybody that's played a whole lot in Seattle throughout his couple years in the NFL. So you've got him, you've got Caleb Wilson in-house, and also Noah Togiai, who I actually really like. Athletic tight end from Oregon State, has actually looked pretty good so far at training camp. But they bring in Tyrone Swoops, so you got Togiai, you've got Swoops, you've got Wilson. It is unfortunate that Perkins is hurt. I was very comfortable with him as that third tight end. You saw Perkins make some big plays down the stretch last year, including that impressive touchdown, more so about Carson Wentz. But week 17 against the Giants, Wentz rolls all the way to his right, and on the right sideline just throws it back across the field to the left corner of the end zone, and Perkins makes a really tough catch, and that was instrumental. Without that touchdown, the Eagles might not make the playoffs and win the NFC East. So the past couple years, I've really liked the progression of Joshua Perkins. It sucks that he's going to be gone long term potentially, but you know, you got Zach Ertz, you got Dallas Goedert. I think they're going to be just fine at the tight end position. Robert Davis, the Eagles wide receiver they picked up last year, he was on the practice squad for most of the year, did play a little bit. He had one catch for 6 yards, I think was his total contributions to the team last year when they were just decimated with injuries at receiver. He did, however, make one big play that didn't count. That same game that Perkins made the play against the Giants, Wentz gave Davis a one-on-one, like 40 yards down the field, and Davis just went up and brought it down, like draped in coverage. I think it was DeAndre Baker that was in coverage, and Davis brought down a heck of a ball, but there was a penalty on the offensive line, so it did come back. But with Davis, you know, he did show some promise in college. I loved that you could trust him to go high point the football and make some tough grabs, and I was a little optimistic about him when they signed him last year, but it was a numbers game, and again, he didn't really make a big impact when he was on the field last year. And you know, even if you keep six or seven guys, you've got DeSean Jackson, Jalen Reagor, of course Greg Ward and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, that's four. If you imagine Quez Watkins and John Hightower make the initial roster, we'll see what happens when Alshon Jeffrey comes back, but let's just say Alshon's on the PUP. There still really is no room for somebody like Robert Davis. Maybe Deontay Burnett could convince them to, you know, keep a seventh guy because he's had a really strong camp, but Robert Davis really hasn't done much at training camp anyway, so this is a very unexpected, or I should say expected move, waving Davis to make room for Tyrone Swoops. Again, a numbers game. Davis was not going to win a roster spot in Philly in 2020. All right, let's continue to talk about the skill position players. Let's continue to get into tight end. Zach Ertz, the Eagles, contract talks are back on. The Eagles tried to re-sign Ertz in the middle of the season last year. Talks stalled. They kind of ended, and now they're picked back up here. Will the Eagles sign Ertz to a long-term deal? Should they right now? Should they at all with Dallas Goedert in-house? I sat down with Locked On NFL host Matt Williamson about all of that coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. Today's podcast is sponsored by DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Myself, somebody that produces overnight and radio, can't really leave the board, so DoorDash is crucial for me if I want to get food from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. And ordering is really easy. All you got to do is open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely right outside the door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. They have over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia that you can support. Many of your local favorites are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at the door. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDON. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. We also want to give a shout out today to Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. It's a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and you name it. Way more, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Make sure you go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write down Locked On in there. How did you hear about us, box? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, everybody, welcome back into this Wednesday edition of Locked On NFL. Louis DiBiase here alongside Matt Williamson. All right, Matt, let's get into some Eagles talk here. The Eagles and Zach Ertz have restarted contract talks. The Eagles tried to get him locked up during the season, but talks did stall. It seems like fitting timing that they're re-engaging in those talks now with the big contract extension for Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce. Same with San Francisco 49ers tight end George Kittle. They're both getting historic deals for the position. I think it's fitting that Ertz is the next guy, being like that's that first tier of elite tight ends. It's Kelce, it's Kittle, and it's Ertz.
Yeah, I want to get to the football side of it in a minute, but every one of these signings, and anyone's been listening to us, my biggest fear through this COVID situation is if the cap goes down dramatically, it's going to be catastrophic. For and sure. Every one of these signings, starting with Mahomes, yesterday I talked about Buda Baker, Kenny Clark right before that. There's many, many, many of them where foundational pieces are getting extensions. And why I really want to stress it with this Ertz conversation, as you know better than anybody, There's not a team in the league that is more cash strapped than the Eagles going into next year. And if they do a big deal done for the going rate, that just tells me that these owners aren't worried about a thing.
No, that's 100% true. And with Howie Roseman, too, I've kind of trained myself to not look too deep into the cap part of this, the impact that the salary cap has on these kind of contracts, because every year it looks like the Eagles need to make all these, you know, they need to cut costs and save all this money, and then Howie Roseman finds a way to continue to lock up the core of this roster. And although next year right now the projection is they're going to be about 67, if the cap is what it's estimated to be in 2021, it looks like they're going to be $67 million over the cap. But right. No matter what, Zach Ertz was not going to be a part of the puzzle of getting that number down. I mean, they want to keep Zach Ertz long term. They're going to make other roster moves to get that number down. And look, Howie Roseman's one of the best general managers when it comes to managing the cap and finding creative ways to keep this core intact. So while it does look daunting for what their task is salary cap wise next year, especially with the state of the NFL right now, I've learned to be confident in Howie that he'll find a way to get it done on the cap.
And that makes perfect sense, and it's really well said, because they're always up against it. They have a star-studded roster,
yep.
And they always get it done, and they always compete, and they're a classic, they're a class organization. But just the fact that the team that's in the worst trouble is going to spend money going forward makes me think these owners know a thing or two and aren't exactly hurting for cash.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk our a little bit. Like, sure. To me, I was curious if this would happen or not. I mean, part of it was the cap situation, but obviously Dallas Goedert's waiting in the wings. Mm-hmm. You couldn't have a better number two successor, compliment, however you want to say it, that maybe you would let Ertz go, spend it elsewhere, whatever. But I also think, and again, you can reiterate this, that mm-hmm. Ertz is a core member of this team. He's too important. He has too good a rapport with Wentz that you have to keep him. And maybe he's not a young player anymore. But one thing I talk about a lot about tight ends, and Ertz is a perfect example, they fade away slow. I mean, once they learn the tricks of the trade, how to set up defenders, use their body, sit down in zones, run through man, they don't fall off a cliff quick. I mean, Jason Witten runs like me, and he can still play. I mean, like, Gonzalez and Gates, yep. And so many of these great ones just last forever, and they can't run a lick. So investing in Ertz makes a lot of sense to me. But in terms of the numbers, if I'm negotiating with Ertz's agent, I have to say, hey, we love you. We know you've been to Pro Bowls. You've caught a lot of passes. I can't give you Kittle, Kelsey money. Mm-hmm. But I'll make you richer than Austin Hooper.
Right. So where I stand here with this, look, of course I want Zach Ertz in Philadelphia long term. I mean, when you have that kind of chemistry with your franchise quarterback, Ertz is Wentz's go-to target. And like you said, I think Ertz, especially at tight end, you know, you talked about the likes of Tony Gonzalez and Jason Witten, how they are able and were able to play late into their 30s because of how they play, especially like Ertz compared to Kittle and Kelsey. He doesn't rely on, you know, yards after the catch, you know, in the screen game,
right.
His athleticism,
speed,
explosiveness.
Right.
Yeah. He doesn't rely on that kind of game like those other tight ends do. So Ertz, especially with how, you know, he relies on his hands, route running, ability to create separation as a technician, I think he'll age really well. So, and of course, you don't win a Super Bowl without Zach Ertz. I mean, converting fourth and one in the second half when you're down 33-32 in your own territory against the Patriots, catching the game winner. I mean, this is probably a future Hall of Famer right now that's on pace to match, you know, Tony Gonzalez's numbers. So with all that being said, it makes sense the Eagles are prioritizing Ertz. They want to keep him long-term in Philadelphia. For me, if I'm Howie Roseman, I don't know. Not that, again, I don't want Ertz in Philadelphia long-term. I would preach patience, though, because you mentioned Dallas Goedert, and Dallas Goedert in 2 years is also going to be up for a new contract. Zach Ertz still has two more years on his current contract. So for me, I don't know. I almost want to play it out because I want to see in 2 years. It has nothing to do with Ertz, and more so is a compliment to Goddard. Already after 2 years, Dallas Goedert's one of the best blocking tight ends in football. He's utilized way more in the screen game and with explosive plays, unlike Ertz. And I think right now, yes, Ertz is the superior tight end, but in 2 years, I'm not sure if that gap's going to be as wide, and Goddard is 4 years younger. So at that point, there's a question you're going to have to ask is, okay, can we keep both? Right now, maybe they think we can keep both. We'll pay Ertz, and down the road, we'll try to convince Goddard to stay. I don't think they're going to be able to keep both. I don't think Goddard is going to want to sign a long-term deal in Philadelphia if Ertz is in Philadelphia long-term. And for me, I'm not sure if I want to keep both of them anyway. Do I want to pay two tight ends top receiver money? at that point, I would hope you have three legitimate starting receivers where, I don't know, I would rather be an 11 personnel centric offense where I don't have to play two tight ends over 50% of the time. So that's where my head is at. It's, of course, I want Ertz. I want him with the Eagles long term, but Dallas Goedert, in a couple years, that's a factor here that I think they should be thinking more about, and I'm sure they're thinking about it. For me, though, that's why I'd maybe want to wait.
That's a great way of looking at it, and that's the business decision. That's not the sentimental decision.
Right.
You know, Ertz's contract's not up at the moment. You can wait, and will Goedert want to come back if Ertz is already in tow, second fiddle forever? There's 20 teams in the league that I could be their top guy without a blink of an eye.
Right.
And you're right. I mean, I don't know that you want to be a heavy 12 personnel team. And they brought in a lot of receivers this year. They may bring more going forward, that they want to open things up. Wentz is a gunslinger type. And something you mentioned there I was about to ask you is Ertz. We all agree Ertz is the better football player right this minute.
For sure.
I don't even know a year from now that I'll say that, let alone two.
Right. That's my thing. Again, I don't want to make it seem like I'm anti-Zach Ertz because he is such a good player. And again, like we said, but we both said, I think Ertz can play into his late 30s, 36, 37, where he's still making plays. It's just Goedert, and like you said, a year, he's already an elite blocking tight end. You see what he did for that team down the stretch last year. Some of the big plays he made. I mean, it's incredible. And he's just got another level, a different, I should say, element of his game that the likes of Kelce and Kittle have that Zach Ertz doesn't. So right now, Ertz is still the better player. But in a couple years, again, even if you say we want to keep both of these players, if I'm Dallas Goedert and I see the Eagles sign Ertz to a long-term deal where they're paying him top receiver money, and I look at eventually they're going to have hopefully three quality starting wide receivers. So right now, yeah, I might be out there more than 50% of the time in 12 personnel. But down the road, am I going to have those opportunities still if Ertz is still here and the receiver picture improves? So that's a thing you got to think about. And at that point, it's you might lose Goedert. Are you willing to lose Dallas Goedert over Zach Ertz? It's a fascinating topic. It's a really interesting one. Again, right now, it looks like they're prioritizing Ertz, and it makes sense for all the reasons we said, but I think this is more complicated than maybe some people make it out to be.
Yeah, and 2 years from now, do you want to be paying out $25, $28, $30 million to your tight end room?
Right. And to me, I don't know if I want to do that. I mean, again, you look at... Look at the past Super Bowls. George Kittle's been in the Super Bowl. Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz, Rob Gronkowski on a consistent basis. Having that kind of tight end is huge for an offense. The Eagles just happen to have two of them, though. I'm not saying I want both to leave. Right now, especially, those two are going to be crucial with the question marks the Eagles have at receiver. It's just, again, in 2 years, do you want to invest that like $30 million a year at that position when hopefully eventually you have receivers that can spread out the field and can make plays for you. So it's again, an interesting situation. For now, though, it remains to me the best tight end combo in the league, and it's going to be crucial for this offense. Guys, it doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair. Everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBMD have amazing duos that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with Menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like Arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering all our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code LOCKEDONNFL at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code LOCKEDONNFL for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. Welcome back in, everybody, to Locked On NFL. Matt, I guess we'll wrap the show by saying, you know, when it comes to the Eagles, hopefully a clean bill of health, but Carson Wentz finally having more than two, three options and actually having some explosive options that can make his job easier, that's really big time, and it could be huge, like getting him back into that MVP conversation like he was in 2017. Whereas the last couple years, like, he's been able to carry this offense that really has not been able to produce at that same level as 2017, but hopefully it's just easier for him.
him and this entire team in 2020, where they're not 5-7, they're not 6-7, having to dig themselves out of these crazy holes that they have. But I hope everything is easier. And, you know, us talking about this offense, at least, you know, it's on paper in the preseason here, but I'm definitely optimistic about Carson Wentz and his cast of weapons.
Yeah, I would be too. And I think it's safe to say that Jackson, Rager, Sanders, Ertz, Goddard will lead the skill position players in snaps.
I agree. Yep. And then, yeah, you know, JJ, Greg Ward, hopefully maybe Quez Watkins or John Hightower, your fifth or sixth round picks, can be surprises this year. It's an exciting, it's an unproven bunch, Matt. This is how I'll wrap it up. I would say it's an unproven bunch of players, but it's certainly an exciting, versatile group that finally has that speed element that they haven't had since they had DeSean Jackson the first time around. And of course you had Torrey Smith in 2017, but they've been trying to add that element to this offense through Torrey Smith, Mike Wallace, Golden Tate, DeSean Jackson.
They're looking forever. Yeah.
Right. And finally this year, Howie Roseman said, screw it, we're going to bring in five. And remember, they traded for Marquise Goodwin,
right,
who
right,
opted
right,
out. So he's like, just find me anybody that can run a 4-3. So,
yep. And again, Alshon Jeffery's a good football player.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Maybe he sits out on PUP for a while, comes back in week 8 and looks good. You know, like, let's not dig a grave for him quite yet.
There's a lot of question marks, but there's a lot of excitement in Philadelphia right now on offense. You can find Matt Williamson on Twitter at WilliamsonNFL. You can follow me, Louis DiBiase, on Twitter at DiBiase, L-O-E. Again, be sure to subscribe to Locked On NFL on any podcast platform. Matt, any last thoughts, any last plugs? It was great to do a show with you, and hopefully we can do it again down the road.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have you on the new show, and this was a blast, and really, really fun show.